They are colluding with each other and trying to undermine Katie Glenn every opportunity they have.
Well, I think also that this comes through Ben Connell, Vincent Shaheen, Tom Mulliken, and the rest of the Unholy Alliance that's driving their agenda.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Kershaw County Liberty Report. This week, we're covering the Kershaw County Council meeting of 8/22/2023. And there was a little bit of fireworks. And to commentate on this is the man himself, Mr. Matthew Hutchinson. He is on the telephone. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Yep, coming to you from the undisclosed location, joining in remote.
Yeah, you were a little busy yesterday, and you got a pregnant wife, from what I hear. Is that right?
Yeah, I was just busy living my life, trying to enjoy myself, and also participate in the in our county and what's going on in our county. So. I wrote a little letter, sent it in to county council, because usually they'll read the public comments that we email in.
Now that's been an ongoing thing since the Rona thing, and they had their emergency measures where the county councilman don't have to be there; they can call in, and then the public could email in, and then. At the time, Julie Burns had the clerk of county council read the thing, and of course he censored mine by editing. He didn't like me using whereas it is, but we several people have put in emails and have been read up until this meeting, right?
Right, and there was no. Forewarning, there was nothing put out that we're not going to be reading the emails anymore or anything like that, which apparently the chairman can leave and take a kid to soccer practice, then come back and start the meeting over again as if she never left.
That was another strange thing. She started the meeting. And then right after the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, she left to go.
It was strange. I've never seen that happen before.
Me either. And then did not come in until the very end of the meeting when Jimmy Jones had already started council briefings.
Right. And then she went back, stopped, and like during her council briefing, she went back to read more ordinance. Now this just shows how dysfunctional this county council is, because it seems like everybody against Katie, but then you have the finance committee against the other council, Katie and Jimmy, and you got Danny Cato sitting there like a potato on the table, he's just present, taking up oxygen, and it's the strangest thing. So let's stay on topic. So, yeah, Katie left. Then it was time for public comments. right as she left.
Yeah, and there was right? one public comment by somebody that was there, and that was by Tom Webb talking on trash. And,
right.
And after he got done, Matt, let me pull this up, and you take a listen to what happened after Tom Webb was done and Jimmy Jones is running the meeting. Here we go.
Right.
Number seven, public presentations, and that's usually a 20-minute. I'm going to stick by the rules, 20 minutes. And I think...
Mr. Vice Chair?
What?
Point of order, can you at least say that we've had one public comment that was sent email from Mr. Matt Hutchins?
Hold on a minute. Have you got it?
Yes, sir.
Would you...
I'm not reading it.
No. Okay.
Do you want me to just?
I don't see it.
Councilman Jones, let me just mention what it is.
Yes, if you do.
So we received an email from Mr. Hutchinson on the subject of a potential real estate transaction that he thinks would benefit the county. It has been given to every council member and would be put into the. It'll be in the public agenda that gets posted online. Correct, Mr. Templar. Okay, so that is the other public comment, Councilman.
Okay, thank you. Is that the Liberty Hill property?
No, that's he wants the what part?
Oh, I got you.
And okay. All that, Larry Dobie's and all that.
I'm sure I got a copy of it in my mess. I did not see it when I sat down.
That's okay.
Okay, very good. Number seven, public presentations. I think.
So there you go, Matt. That's what happened.
Well, I guess thank you to Mr. Sammy Tucker for bringing, even though he didn't have balls to read it, but that's okay. That's all right. I don't expect. A councilman from another district doesn't represent my district. He shouldn't read it. If anything, Danny should have spoken up because he represents the district I live in. He doesn't represent me, but he does. He is the councilman for district that I live in. And Danny should have, I would think, he should have read it. But it's all good. And then Jimmy Jones playing dumb was hilarious.
Well, I mean, apparently everybody had received that email.
Yes.
Because Derek had it. We know Sammy had it. And so all of them had it. And Jimmy's claiming that he doesn't have it. And then later on, he claims that it must be lost in his stack.
Yeah. So... I was given a reassurance from Hannah, who is the clerk there, that the chairwoman was given a copy and she would make sure that every council member had a copy of it.
Right.
And which I believe her. I don't think she would be lying to me. She has no reason to lie.
Yeah.
So,
That was extremely strange. The way
it was very strange. So that makes you. It should make people think. Well, what the hell was in his comment that they didn't want to read it?
Yeah. Right. The point here is, I think that by reading it, it puts it in front of the people. And it puts it onto a video record that can be accessed later on. And people do not, I don't know that 67,000 residents of Kershaw County get a copy of the minutes.
No.
How many people get a copy?
Maybe 10 of us nerds that would actually look at it.
Exactly. So by doing
that... And another thing that it got out in front of, and it in the timeline of events, it would be read before Brant Tomlinson and Danny Cato were able to go on their soapbox rant. So I'm sure we can talk about that later if we're going to go chronologically.
Well,
but there's a very good reason why my comment wasn't allowed to be read. It was because that those two councilmen had pre-written statements that they were going to speak forcefully on, that they had practiced. And I can confirm this with a source of mine that spoke to Brant Tomlinson in the days leading up, that he wanted to be sure to be able to get in front of this development story, the housing development.
Yeah, that we discussed on the Liberty Report last week.
he very specifically wanted to be able to speak on it before Katie Gwynn, before anybody else. He wanted to be the one to get out in front of it and to be the forceful person to speak down against it. And it's a political posturing. It's what he wanted to make sure that he was able to ruffle his feathers, fluff his feathers out for everybody to see, for a very specific reason.
Well, this is interesting. Do you think we ought to, you could read your comments sure. before we go to Brandt and do it yeah. in the sequence that it should have been presented?
Yes. So here is my public comment that I do plan to take to the next county council meeting to read. And like I said, I'm going to add a little spice to it, of course, because this is a very vanilla statement for me. This is very cut and dry, but you know, there's no reason, there's no controversy for this. All right, so it starts, to the members of council and citizens of Kershaw County, I'm writing these public comments in the hopes of bringing creative solutions to some of the issues we have been wrestling with over the past 6 months. While doing research into a possible residential development of approximately 230 acres located off Chestnut Street in Camden, I noticed something peculiar. This property actually resides in the county, and the plan would be to annex this into the city. Not only that, it also butts up to another property that has been a point of contention since day one of this new council, Woodward Park. An odd coincidence for sure. This got me thinking about a possible solution to our parks and rec problems that could be a winning strategy for everyone in the county, including residents of Camden. I propose that the county donate the properties at 64 Ballpark Road, which is Woodward Park, and 1226 Lawrence Street Extension, which is the county parks and rec building and more parks, to the city of Camden. This would not only save us the money spent on maintenance annually, but Camden would be gaining a beautiful city park. We have also discussed the need for a new building to house the parks and rec staff. We could use the money saved in this transaction to fund the building at Larry Doby Park or Casey West. If the city of Camden were to decline this donation, we could easily sell the property to the highest bidder. Surely this property has gained incredible commercial value over the years and would sell quickly. The land in the county is selling for around $10,000 an acre these days. I'm sure we could get a little more for this prime piece of real estate. This would not only free up capital, it would also put money in the bank and allow us to focus on the many other parks in our inventory that are in dire need of improvements. Continuing my train of thought, I started thinking and looking at other properties around the county and wondering why. Why does the county own these? For instance, 3021 Wildlife Road. This is a 122-acre plot of land on Lake Watery, and it was purchased in 2008 for $946,232. I believe the original intent was to put yet another park here, but that never happened. Why do we continue to own this? We should sell it and use the proceeds to improve our usable parks. After speaking with a couple realtors, we could bring in probably over $1.5 million for this piece of property. I'm sure the councilmen from District 3 and District 5 would greatly appreciate the extra attention and resources for the parks in their areas. The council has an incredible opportunity to get creative when it comes to finding solutions to challenges facing our county. Money is tight and times are getting tough. Now is the time to start thinking about fixing our problems, not create new ones. Thank you, Matthew Hutchison.
Thank you. Oh, I'm gonna clap on that, Matthew. I'm gonna clap on that. That's bringing the heat and bringing solutions to real problems, because these people have been out of control for so long.
Yeah, what have they done so far in the 6 or 7 months, 8 months they've been in that council? What have they done that has been a solution for our county? It seems like they're only creating new problems. Just like Katie's motion last night to add another layer of process of red tape to the finance committee, I texted her immediately and I said, hey, I could save you a whole bunch of steps. How about we just delete the finance committee altogether?
And that's just a recent thing. The finance.
It is.
Thing.
It was like what 2017 they said or 20.
Yeah, they had it for a number of years, and they had it no.
Then it went away for a while, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's unnecessary to have a finance committee because you have all these other budget meetings, budget workshops, and you do all the budget voting at your council and all that other bullshit. So what is the point of this? Adding more bureaucracy. You know, it's just silliness. So
it's kind of like last night they were talking about all the boards and commissions, more boards and more commissions.
They're thanking everybody for their service, and you know we need more of y'all to show up and keep you know serving our community like this. And they're serving themselves, like the airport commission. Those people are just serving themselves so they can have an airport to fly their rich friends can fly their planes in and all that sort of stuff.
Well, all the commissions are the people that are on them are all self-interested in those specific things. So it stands to reason. It's kind of like in the DOD. At the end of the year, if they haven't spent all the money that they're delegated, they go out and throw a bunch of stuff away and then buy stuff to make, you know. So the same thing here. They're always going to want, and want.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that they go on the commissions and all is because the county council has a monopoly on force to tax us to no end to get whatever those self-interests are.
Right, which is exactly what that property up in Liberty Hill is. It was a self-serving expenditure, nearly $1 million, just so they could have a piece of land to name after some politician and feel good about themselves about, you know, access to the lake or some bullshit like that. So getting back to the public comment section, you know, at that point in time when you texted me and said there was something really weird just happened at the meeting, like they didn't read your comment, but there was a weird back and forth going on up there. And I was like, what in the hell? And, you know, when you said they didn't read my comment, that was enough for me to know I'm going up there. So, you know, at the time, I'm sitting at Lugoff House of Pizza with my wife, where she works. They were doing a little baby shower for her. And so I showed her the text, and she looked at me with wide eyes, and I said, yeah, I'm going up there. And so we continued our evening, had a great time with these lovely people, and finished up, paid our check. I told my wife, I'll see you in a bit. I'm going up to the government center. And so I go in there and I get my Fourth Amendment violated, you know, like everybody else that goes in there. And then I had to take what do they call it, multi-tool in my pocket. I carry a little multi-tool. It's got screwdriver, pliers, and that sort of stuff on there, a little bitty pocket knife. And I had to go take that back out to my car. I went in there, I put my hands on the desk and bent over and I reached back and I was like, you want me to lift and separate my cheeks or what do you need here, buddy?
It gets kind of stupid what they do.
Yeah, I like to mess with them, just make them feel like idiots for doing it. So when I walked in there, man, I flung the door open, I walked in nice and slow, and I saw all their eyeballs on me. And at that, I didn't know Katie left at that point in time, so I saw her chair was empty. So I walked up to the front, made a left turn, I started walking like I was going to go up to the podium, and you could hear the air getting sucked out of the room.
Huh.
So I just went and I sat down right next to Martin Kahn.
The con man, the Camden comical con man.
Yeah, and I think I make him nervous for some reason. I don't know why. I don't, you know, he just gets nervous. And I sat next to Tom Webb. And then I just stared. I looked everybody in their eyes as they were up there looking at me. I looked every single one of them back in their eyes. And then enjoyed the show because they were infighting, and especially when Katie came back. And and tried to put some handcuffs on the Finance Committee. That was pretty funny. I was laughing pretty hard at that.
Well, before you got there and all, they went through all these different ordinances, changing all the lot sizes and the amount of mobile homes that you can have and all that as a reaction to the people complaining over in West Water Rita, all these houses being built. And the thing is that they've known about that for years and years. And when I talk about they, I'm talking about county council, no matter who's on the thing. And they knew that they were spurring on major growth. They've known this for 10 years. 10 years. And so now, all of a sudden, here comes our saviors. Derek Shoemake and Jimmy Jones was even saying, oh man, y'all are moving so fast on this, it's great. So, you know, it's like they're a day late and a dollar short.
They are.
Government is always a day late and a dollar short. That brings us to
Brandt's big grandstand, you know. I believe that this photo of the map of the potential development in Camden was a red herring. And I think it was put out there to get people worked up about, oh my God, they're going to put 720 houses right in the middle of Camden. This is ridiculous. And then Brandt can come like Superman and save the day.
Right.
And say, I'm not going to stand for this. We're not going to have 720 houses over my dead body, you know, blah, 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 whatever he said. And, you know, very, very well played. And I was smiling the whole time. I was like, damn, that son of a bitch played us.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to what Brandt has to say.
Yeah.
And in the context that you just read, your comments, if this would have been read into the record and then Brandt say his little thing, the impact be?
But I probably would have stole a little bit of his thunder.
You reckon?
Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Brandt, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Tomlinson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to say thank you to everybody who is willing to give their time and effort to serve on our boards and commissions, who serve our nonprofits for our community. You know, together, our greatest asset for Kershaw County is our people. Together, we can continue to make Kershaw County a great place, and we need more people to step up and, you know, give their time and energy. And just wanted to really, really thank everybody who does, because, you know, time and energy is not free, and I know that everybody is busy and they have lives outside, but people who are willing to volunteer their time is a huge asset. I'm going to pull a playbook out of Councilman Jones' deck of cards and wrote down my comments. There's been some rumors going around, you know, regarding housing complex on social media and other media aspects. And I decided, you know, Kershaw County is a great place, and it's a place I love. You know, growing up here, it's been wonderful, and I enjoy raising my two children here and look forward to one day hopefully having grandchildren here. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read, and hopefully I'm a little bit more wordsmith than Councilman Jones is in his. It has come to my attention that there is potentially proposed development near the city of Camden and partly in and around District 5, including District 6, which Councilman Cato represents. One of the plans to add a staggering 750 homes in our downtown community. To put that in perspective, with a current population standing at about 7,500 people in the city of Camden, so an estimated 2.6 residents per house. You know what that increase would be? 2,000 people. 2,000 people. 26% increase in growth with just one housing development. Is that what Kershaw County needs right now? People move here because we are a small community who loves each other, who's willing to step out and volunteer their time to make Kershaw County a better place. Our community's charm and character is determined by how thoughtful we progress and grow. We have to be responsible and manage our growth. We can't prevent growth, but doing it responsibly is the way to do it. This massive influx of residents would put an overwhelming strain on our community's infrastructure, roads, to include public services, utilities, and more. Let's not forget about our schools. Our schools are almost maxed out countywide. Are we going to risk our children's education and their future on this compromise? I won't stand for that. Rapid and reckless expansion isn't just about numbers. It's about risking the future of our young ones. Responsible growth is the backbone of a thriving community. A thriving community is what Kershaw County is. I believe in the importance of strategic and sustainable development, which aligns with our community's values and long-term vision. In our pursuit of progress, we must recognize that this level of full-throttle development must come to a halt. Unbridled, unrestrained growth does not serve our community. It doesn't have a place here in Kershaw County. We've got to be responsible. It threatens to overshadow the very essence of what makes our community unique and cherished and loved by everyone who lives here. We have a responsibility, not just us sitting up here on council, not just the seven of us, each one of you, each resident in Kershaw County, to be stewards of our great community and continue to protect and preserve for our future. It is incumbent upon us as elected officials to take a stand against this kind of rampant expansion and irresponsible growth. Together, let's champion responsible growth, uphold the character of this community, and ensure that the heart of Camden, Kershaw County, Bethune, Elgin, Lugoff, all communities come together so we can have future generations and keep Kershaw County the place we love. Thank y'all so much for your time. And
that's a nice speech there, Matthew.
Yeah, old Tom Mulliken can really write a speech, can't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so now they're totally against any kind of growth, right?
Right.
This does present a good opportunity for Brant and Danny and whoever to come out and say, you know, you guys are right. You people in West Waterbury are right. There's too much growth.
Oh, yeah, especially when it's in Brant's, literally in Brant's backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And his father-in-law.
And it's in Cato's district, too. Part of it's in Cato's, part of it's in Brant's.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, none of them people down there in Camden voted for Danny Cato.
No. But, you know, it's interesting because that might shift district lines again if something like that was to come in.
Oh, it definitely would, yeah.
And I think you're on to something with the red herring thing. So somebody pays some cartoonist to draw up a thing, pays them, you know, $1,000, $1,500, how can we lay this out or whatever, and then sneaks it out at a meeting or whatever, and it leaks out, and it goes out into our arena, and we start going, what the hell? And
I'll tell you, I got it from Jimmy Jones.
Right.
And as soon as he sent it to me, I'm thinking, all right, what the hell does he want? And then he called me and said, you should call... He texted me. He said, you should call Charles Ives. He knows all about this. Call Charles. And I'm thinking, Jimmy's asking me to do something. What does he have to gain from it?
Yeah. What's going on here?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Something ain't right.
Yeah. Something smells in Denmark, so to speak.
That's right.
So Danny Cato goes in and chimes in, too, and talks about the district this and district that.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody else brings the subject up.
No.
That was interesting in and of itself that nobody else brought it up, even though everybody on that council is fully aware of the cartoon drawings.
But what's staggeringly obvious is that This county council, Derek Shoemake, Brant Tomlinson, Danny Cato, and Russell Brazel, at the very least, those four people, at the least, meet and coordinate these meetings on who's going to talk when and who's going to say what when. And it's very obvious. They definitely are working against Katie Gwynn. They are colluding with each other and trying to undermine Katie Gwynn every opportunity they have.
Well, I think also that this comes through Ben Connell, Vincent Shaheen, Tom Mulliken, and the rest of the Unholy Alliance that's driving their agenda. We can see it in the Woodward Park scam. We can see it in the Revolutionary War Park, dead soldier scam now.
You know, here's what I see coming next, Jeff, is you have the heroes, Brant Tomlinson and Danny Cato, the heroes that saved Camden from this horrible R6 development that's going to put six 6,000 square foot lots. They saved it. And Derek Shoemake went on TV and spoke about it. And now this plan very likely could be redrawn to R15 under the new zoning regulation, which was written by Ben Connell and pushed by Derek Shoemake. And now they're going to be here. Everybody's going to be like, well, 15,000 square feet, that's three times or more than three times. And, you know, that's no big deal. We can handle that.
Yeah, they also could make that where they're 2 or 3 acre lots or whatever, you know.
Well, I heard an idea from somebody else.
Yeah,
I said, what if we had a little mini farm? What do they call it? Little mini farms, like 6 acre farms, horse farms.
Yeah.
That would certainly be welcomed in Camden, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Even though all the horse people are moving to Aiken.
Yeah, they're all leaving Aiken.
That's the reason that this property is now being looked at.
Yeah.
Is because the horse industry's dying in Camden.
Absolutely. And
so there's no need.
It's dead. You could just say it's dead.
Yeah, there's no need to have the tax write-off there anymore.
No.
So let's go ahead.
To Aiken County.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take our money out, and we'll invest it in something else. You know, some other horse crap or something.
I mean, these people got enough money; they can move their horses wherever the hell they want.
Yeah.
Air conditioning. The guy that owns that property, he's owned it for 25 years, I think, but he's a billionaire from Delaware.
Yeah.
He's not from around here. And I think he owns that Blue Barn as well.
Yeah, he could give two craps about what happens, As long as he makes that little bit of chump change off of here, you know, got several million dollars, he'll go on down the road.
Yep.
And all the people that are scrambling around now trying to figure out a way to keep Camden alive that doesn't include horses.
Yeah.
So they're gonna look to travel baseball and tourism to the Revolutionary War Park Center that every time I go to, the parking lot's damn empty.
Right.
You know, what the hell? The do-gooders come in and think that these are do-gooding things, and then county council does the good thing, and it costs every one of us out there for their beautification projects that end up costing us years and years and years down the road.
Yep. It's just like we said in the last episode, Jeff. This is the rich men of Camden getting the poor folks of Kershaw County to pay for their amenities.
Yeah. While the whole time the middle class and lower class is disappearing. I was looking at a report today that you can't buy a car, a new car, under $20,000. The average price of a vehicle now is over $40,000. Then you add your electricity and your cable bill and your insurance and all these things, And mm-hmm. Rich men of Camden don't worry about those things.
No, they don't care. They can.
We live paycheck to paycheck. And these people, it's like when Russell Brazel was talking about the inspectors. He was talking about the inspectors, building inspectors, and how we use a third party for the building inspectors because we can't hire nobody at the price that the county wants. And so he wants to raise the pay to cover the same amount that the third party did to get in-house.
We need to compete, Jeff. We got to compete.
Yeah, and this is the same thing the sheriff's saying. We know that it's the federal government itself printing money hand over fist through the Federal Reserve that is driving all this crazy.
Yeah, it's, we knew it was coming. We've talked about this time and time again. And here it is, right in the faces of everybody. And, you know, you'll see, really, nobody gives a shit. They either don't give a shit or they're too busy just trying to survive.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
What is interesting here is the Finance Committee meeting, this meeting, previous meetings, we're all seeing, those of us that watch and pay attention, are seeing the trial balloons start to fly, that there's mm-hmm. going to be tax increases next year.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the maximum millage increase that they can get.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, I'm sorry we had to do it because we have to compete.
That's guaranteed. The sheriff is going to get a raise next year again. Guaranteed. His deputies are going to get a raise.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Finance Committee, that's the whole reason Katie was so mad, because the sheriff went straight to the Finance Committee to try to get them to open the budget up again and didn't go through the county council, which would be the people. He didn't go to the people first. He went to the Finance Committee and asked them if they would reopen the budget.
Yeah.
That was his ask. Reopen the budget so I can get more. And meanwhile, what he was asking for would have increased our millage past the maximum of what they can increase.
They were talking about it at the bottom, which would have been 3,500 plus fringe benefits, would have been about a mil to a mil and a half. And then to go to the high end, which was $12,000, it would have been 2.5 mils.
Yeah, which I think would have increased our budget by like $3.5 million or something. Pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I asked after that finance meeting, who out there in the hinterland is getting these big $5,000, $10,000, $12,000 raises?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hands, and I can't see a hand out there.
Right.
Maybe there are.
Can you think of another agency in this county that has cost the taxpayers more money in lawsuits and vehicle replacements, and new hires, right? The turnover is expensive to train new people. I don't know of any other agency in this county that has cost us more money.
Yeah, he has cost us a lot of money over the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever it's been now. And it continues to cost us money. There's still several lawsuits out there or something.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we go over what Katie had to say.
Okay.
And you know, she comes in late and all that kind of stuff. So let's play the
first. Basically tried to start the meeting over again from like whatever number 6 or 7, and they were already on 14.
And you know, this is what you get when you have part-timers, and it's amazing to me that as soon as somebody's elected, they become experts in everything. Like Derek Shoemaker is now an expert in housing. Don't you know that he spent many a night up trying to rewrite this down to 15,000 square foot. Does anyone out there honestly believe that he wrote the new ordinance? Anyone? I didn't hear no answer.
I don't believe that shit.
No. So let's listen to what Katie has to say.
All right. So Kershaw County has an opioid coalition. It's a group of people that meet regularly to determine the best way to move forward with the settlement funds for the opioid crisis. And we have an opioid coalition manager now. And we just had our meeting last Wednesday. So I just wanted to let you guys know we had a great meeting. We're going to focus on education moving into this next era of funding, education in the community, in the rural community, especially on the use of Narcan and the drug overdoses in our community. So
another do-gooder scam.
Yeah, I was about to say, I had to stop it. Yeah. The opioid settlements. What was it, $3.8 billion or something like
that? Yeah, I don't know. How much did Jimmy Jones' wife get out of that? I can't remember.
It's $350,000 or something, I think.
She didn't get it personally, but her scam organization that she works for.
Yeah, the Alpha Center. And so they're going to educate people.
Yeah, about, we need to educate.
About opioids and, how to use Narcan when somebody overdoes.
Yeah. And I wanted to scream out that the damn government brought all these drugs into the damn country, and now we're going to look at them for the solution?
Yeah, the people that have the patents on the opioids, they had patents on a non-addictive opioids, and they wouldn't let those out. They let the addictive opioids out, and the FDA gave it emergency use authorization.
Fresh from the fields of Afghanistan.
Yeah. So this was purposely done. And then the government says, oh, bad boys, and gets them to pay a little tiny bit of the profit they're making.
Yeah.
To come in and educate. And
it's just a money laundering scheme because the government's getting the money back.
Yeah, and it feeds the non-government organizations that feed off the teat of the government, like the Alpha Center. The Alpha Center has got a captive consumer. Anybody that runs through the criminal justice system, named criminal justice because it's run by criminals on behalf of criminals.
It's just that they're drug dealers, they're dope pushers, just like the other guys.
That's right. That's right. The solution is not to educate. The solution is to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And bring back the patent on the ones that are not addictive.
Mm-hmm. So they give drugs to the street dealers to create addicts, and then they take their customers away, lock them in jail, private jails usually, make money off of that, and then they let them out and they tell them, you got to go to this Alpha Center and get your other drugs that are legal, in quotations.
Yeah, exactly. And so Katie
wants
a great
business scheme.
Katie wants us to pat everybody on the back because they're going to spend the money on education.
Education.
Yeah.
And with the DARE program, that was a great program, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, all that did was make me want to go smoke some weed. Like, damn, that looks pretty fun.
Yeah. It's always some kind of babbling bullshit that comes out of this sort of thing. And it just feeds the government teat sucking industrial complex.
That's right.
So let's finish up. Katie got a couple of different points. Go ahead there, Miss Katie.
This might be a repeat, but there are two public comments that came in via email. Each council member should have got a copy of each at their desk when they came in. It was not in the agenda packet, it was just separate.
There it is, Matt.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know, I texted Katie. I said, why wasn't my public comment read? And she said, we don't have to read email public comments.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then at the end, Jimmy gets a clarification, and Katie reads the public comment rules, mm-hmm. which doesn't say anything about an email.
No, not at all.
And it says something about speakers, and the legal department comes back and said, Mr. DeBose comes back and says, well, it says speaker.
Speakers.
So that means speech. And but that is not the precedent that they have already set.
And the whole time you could see Sammy, and Sammy's laughing. If you see him laughing, he's raising his eyebrows. He's looking right at me. I don't know if you can see that on the video, but I think
not.
He was basically saying, like, damn, man, I can't believe they didn't read this, you know?
Yeah, it everything about it is suspect.
Yes.
It's amazing the clown show. I keep referring to it as a clown show because everybody up there thinks they're an expert and they power tripping, and they play these little games like high school with millions of dollars.
Millions. Millions of dollars that have been stolen from the people that they supposedly represent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they want us to pat them on the back and congratulate them. Thank you for building this crazy park.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. I don't know,
Matthew. It's so bizarre.
This whole meeting was just bizarre. And,
and meanwhile, Julian Burns is sitting at home rubbing his little hands together, giggling like a little schoolgirl, just loving every minute of it.
Yeah. It's just the same games, different players.
Yeah. Like I told you, I said, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Remember the old line from The Who?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think we're going to play any more of it.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting, man. Like it was hard to sit there. It was definitely impossible to sit there with a straight face. I'll say that. And it was hard to sit there without shouting out. Like when Katie and Sammy were arguing about the finance committee thing, at one point I yelled out. I said, "Just say you're talking about the sheriff and what he did."
Yeah,
why are we tap dancing around this? Just say it. Like, what are you scared of? You think he's going to bust the door in here and, you know, shoot the place up or something?
Yeah, they always play those games, and I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm not going to do this.
Right.
But anybody who's paying attention knows what the hell you're talking about. That's the reason that they didn't want to read your email, is because it goes into public record that anybody can go back and they can watch the video and they can see it. You're not talking to the county council so much as you're voicing your concerns to the people watching and the people that are in the crowd. And
exactly.
The people that are going to be going back and looking at the video, and it keeps a record forever, versus those people that don't ever see the minutes or anything, which is the vast, vast majority of people.
Absolutely. Correct.
So in the end, the government doesn't want to hear from you. And especially don't want your words coming out of their mouth.
Yes. Yeah, they don't want to get their thunder stolen. They want to be the ones to dance up there like a puppet. And meanwhile, you know, everybody else just sitting in the crowd, you know, thank you for recognizing the Blue Line Boutique, or thank you for, you know, whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
Little, you know.
Yeah.
Crumbs they throw.
Yeah, and they want us to pat them on the back all the time. I'm just, you know, it's sickening. You get to the point, you're just so damn sick about it, you don't even want to watch their bullshit anymore.
No.
But you know you have to speak out. You have to speak out. You have to say something, because at some point, these boys are going to run into the same problem that the federal government has, except they can't borrow any more money.
No, they have to write a fancy grant or beg the state for more money. And that's why they're all upset. you know, Big Dabney really screwed this county over more than anybody in probably in history, you know, with his racist bullshit and that ruling, that lawsuit, that basically we lost our representation at the state level.
Well, that,
which, you know, I don't really give a shit about, honestly, but.
Well, the state mandates, the federal government mandates, and these seven people on county council go, yes, a massa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and then they play their own games, and then they come to us, and then they come to us, and then they come to us. And they're coming again, they're coming this coming year.
Just the price of a cheeseburger meal, Jeff. You know, a hamburger meal.
Just a hamburger meal. Well, the damn hamburgers are high as hell now.
they're not mentioning that hamburger's going to be over $2 a pound coming up soon.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, I appreciate you taking the time and effort.
All right, Jeff.
And, you know, we just got to stay on top of them. We got to put up with their bullshit, and hopefully the people will start talking to these people. Call them up.
Give them your council members.
Yeah, yeah. I'll put up their
answers.
I'll put up their numbers at the end of the video. You can stop it. You can just dial and put it up. Put them on speed dial.
There you go.
And
you'll end up like me, getting blocked and ignored, and all other stuff, you know. Katie deleting comments off her Facebook page, and you know, they're all the same, man.
Yeah.
There must be something in the air up there that infects their brains when they spend too much time in those offices.
It's power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's the story of government.
Exactly.
All right, boys and girls.
Jeff. I'm going to run and go cook dinner for my bride.
Okay, my friend.
All right, peace out, guys.
Peace out.
Bye.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for the Liberty Report. Y'all take a look at what they're really doing out there and call them. Are you fed up with the rich men north of Richmond, north in Columbia, north in Camden? Are you fed up yet? They're dragging us down. Till next week, Jeff Maddox. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal, that if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?